Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours, and I want to thank you so much for calling in for this Saturday's conference call. Instead of interviewing somebody this weekend, I'm going to answer questions because the last few times that we've interviewed people, we've had like 40 or 50 people in line to ask a question, and we couldn't get to all of them. So at least once a month, I'll do a Q&A call to give you a chance to ask your questions. Remember that you're always welcome to send an email to info@panamarelocationtours.com with your question also. We'll be glad to answer it any day of the week. So before we get started with the questions and the answers, let me give you an update on what's going on here in Panama. As you know, they originally said that the airport was going to be opening on July 23rd, and then they've moved that now to August 23rd. But they've moved, that's the fourth move. That's the fourth time that they've moved the date. It's kind of a moving target. I don't even know if they'll open up the airports in August. I'm sure sometime in 2020 that the airports are going to be open for you guys to come in and check out Panama and for us to get the tours started again. But it's a little bit premature. And the reason I say it's premature is because especially around Panama City and just west of Panama City, we're still getting a high volume of COVID-19 cases every day, like 700 to 1,000 new cases a day. Many of those are situations where, like, mom goes to work and she gets sick and then she goes home and the dad and her mom and dad and the three kids, they all get it. So it's they get like a bunch of numbers all at once. But they're having a problem with people in Panama City and also Panama West. They had a quarantine where you couldn't go out on the weekends, and also other than going to work, you couldn't go out, except women could go out 3 days a week for 2 hours, and men could go out on Tuesday and Thursday for 2 hours. If you had a job, you could get a what's called a salvo conducto that would allow you to go to work. So some people had a salvo conducto, and they could go to work. Many businesses have allowed people to work from home. Just yesterday, they announced that some of the other provinces are also going to go back into that strict quarantine. Chiriquí province, where I live on the far western side of Panama, also Bocas del Toro and Colón are all going to go back into a quarantine because the R value or the transmission value has gone up a bit and the number of cases has gone up a little bit in some areas. Other areas, I haven't seen any increase at all. And so just as a precaution, they're putting us back into a quarantine, which means on Saturday and Sunday we can't go out. And also women can only go out on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Men can go out on Tuesday and Thursday for 2 hours each one of those days. And it's there's a schedule based on the last number of your passport or the last number of your cedula on when you can go out. The only exception is if you're 60 or over, which I am, then you can go out for 3 hours. So I can go out any of those days between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. And they're hoping that by doing this new quarantine for a couple of weeks that they'll get a little bit better control of the situation, and then we can go back to just having a curfew where we are only had to stay home from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. and other than that we could go out any day, any time that we wanted to. So that's kind of an update on what's going on. They're keeping us informed and doing lots and lots of testing. One of the reasons we have a lot more cases is we're doing so much testing here. And that, like 4,000 tests a day, 5,000 tests a day. And that's why they're coming up with so many new cases. So that's what's going on. Hopefully the borders are going to open up soon. But it might still, my guess is it might be November. October, November before the borders open. But it's just a guess. That's a wild guess. There's nothing in writing. There's nothing definitive about that. Until the numbers come down, they're not going to open up the borders. So now let me get to the questions. First caller is James. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Good to hear from you. We actually got our passports in a month early, and we're sad to hear that the airports didn't open. My question was, how do people handle the like the constant like rainstorms and all that kind of stuff when it's the wet season? You know, the people that might have like the aches back stateside and whatnot. How do people handle that?
Well, you need to live in the right area. I know some people that have arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis. If they live up in Boquete, then the rain that it's pouring down rain right now, by the way, the rain that we get can cause that to flare up. But if you live in some place like the Azuera Peninsula between Chitré and Las Tablas, they get the least amount of rain, and it's also not very humid there. So that's a much better place for someone to live if they have arthritis problems.
And what
You
did you
just have
call
to
that
pick.
again? I'm
You
sorry.
have the Azuera.
The Azuera Peninsula. Okay.
Azuero, Azuera Peninsula. And it's between like Chitré and Las Tablas down to Potosí and that area where they get, like I get about 110, 120 inches of rain where I live in Boquete, and they get maybe 30 to 40 inches of rain in the Azuera a year. So big, big difference. And that's the solution is you have to pick the right place to live.
Okay, awesome. All righty, thank you so much.
Next caller is Alan. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, how are you? I hope everybody's doing well. This is
Doing
Alan
good.
from your from your doing as well as we can, right? This is Alan from your May 2018 tour, and I'm one of your silent majority regulars. I'm on most of your calls, but I rarely ask a question. But I need some guidance and some advice. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I sent an email to the Cherokee attorney, Anita Veriano,
Right.
if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But I didn't get a bounce when I sent the email, but I also have not gotten a response yet.
You need to
So I
contact her through WhatsApp. Panamanians are notorious for not answering an email, but they'll answer WhatsApp in about 5 seconds.
No kidding. Okay, even if it would be just like with the email. Obviously, I'm a stranger right now,
Doesn't
and
matter.
she.
You need. You could
Okay.
even just send her a WhatsApp and say, "Hey, I sent you an email. Can you please check it?" And then it'll get her attention. But you—that's why WhatsApp is the communication method that's
Yeah,
most
no,
used with
I
the
learned that
passport.
when I was there for the 3 weeks I was there for the tour.
Yeah, it
And I
applies to
have.
everything. And
Okay,
even
and I
if you
have
just
her.
send a WhatsApp and say, "Hey, I sent you an email. Can you check it and let me know if I need to resend it?"
Perfect. That's exactly what I
Okay.
needed. Thank you very much. You take care now.
You're welcome. You too. Next caller is area code 478. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a question about is there is masking enforced, or is it optional there, or how do they
It's
handle that?
mandatory. Mandatory
Mandatory?
when you're, yes, Yeah, when
Okay.
you go into, when you're at, just outside walking around, when you're exercising outside, when you go in any buildings, it's required to wear a mask.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Next caller is Robert. Go ahead. Area code 813. Robert, area code 813. I've unmuted your line. Go ahead. Not hearing you for some reason.
Hello,
There
Jackie.
you are. There you
Hey, it's
are.
Bob in 2022. How are you?
I'm good.
Hello? Yeah. You must be glad you have that beautiful property, huh? Especially having to stay home.
I really am, yes.
Yeah. Question is, can you buy rental property in a corporation name with a Pensionado visa?
Yes.
You're able to do that. It's not considered working or
No, if it's your own property and you own it, then you can do that with a pensionado visa. You can have rental properties. However, you cannot manage properties for other people. That would be considered working, and then you have to have a work permit. So, next caller, area code 410, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Terry from Baltimore. I want to know, when you buy car insurance in Panama, do they base your premiums on your credit record or your driving record, or, you know, what do they base it on?
Yeah. They base whenever you buy car insurance in Panama, they base it on the value of the car.
Okay. So what if you just get liability insurance?
Well, you can just get liability, but even with liability is going to be about $200 a year, maybe $180 a year. It depends on the value of the car. If you get full coverage, like I have full coverage on my car, it's a 2018 Santa Fe, and it was like $670 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on the value. So if you have a $5,000 car, it's going to be El Cheapo, and if you have a $20,000 car, it's going to cost more. That's
right.
It. That's
okay.
All they look at. That's the only thing they look at.
That sounds so good and so fair.
They make it easy.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Next caller, area code 903. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Barbara and David from Central Florida, just north of the Villages retirement area. And we
mm-hmm.
know that we are interested in Boquete because of the climate. It's too hot here. We are very used to torrential rains. That's not a problem. But we would love the mountain area of Boquete. Our question is, how would we find someone locally we could rely upon to show us around when we finally would be able to get there for 2 weeks to look around? Your tours are completely filled, but we know on your tour we really don't need to go to those other areas. We're pretty
right. Well,
sure
and you,
that will be it.
And the tour is not really about showing you the other areas. I mean, you're going to see the other areas because it's places you might even want to go to vacation here for an in-country vacation. But every single day during the tour, we're teaching you things that you need to know. What we've done is we've put together something called the Online Panama Relocation Guide
that has the same
information that you got in there. And in August, we're coming out with something new that's going to be in the Online Panama Relocation Guide. And it's how you can do a self-guided tour, and it includes information about people that you can contact can show you around to the different areas. So I'm working on all of that. It'll be coming out in August.
Wonderful. Well, that just shows
It'll have hotel, you know, recommendations of hotels, don't miss restaurants, grocery stores, all those kind of things. So that'll all be coming out, and it's no additional charge. It's included with the Online Panama Relocation Guide.
Oh, perfect.
You know.
Okay, it'll come out with the guide. Okay, that's wonderful.
Yep.
And it just sounds as though everything's at a standstill for everybody.
Unfortunately,
because of all the documentation, we can't even get the passport renewed here very easily.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to get passports renewed and any documents you would need to get a visa, like your criminal report. Some of those things are a little difficult to get right now. So we're just in a great big pause right now. But meanwhile, every Saturday, I'm keeping you updated with either interviews of people that live here in Panama or these Q&A calls. I've got two more videos that are coming out soon of people that live here in Panama. So just to give you a little glimpse of what your life is going to be like whenever you get here. I wish I could wave a magic wand and make it all go away.
Yeah,
I wish I could, but unfortunately, I don't have that power, but I wish I could.
And we do hope everyone there is surviving all right. I mean, all the businesses and everything will be doing okay and be able to come back to what they had when this is over or better.
Well, so, Some of them definitely will. Some of them aren't going to make it, but you know, the strong are going to survive. So it's the same everywhere in the world right now.
Okay, Jackie, we really appreciate what you're getting ready for everyone in August. That will help us out tremendously. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
My next caller, I believe, is Sam. You're at 817. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Carolyn, actually. Sam's my husband, but I'm an artist, and we're thinking of moving to Panama when this is all settled down. And I currently sell my work through galleries in the U.S. and on my website. And so I'm wondering about, I've read about shipping, getting mail and packages from the U.S. to Panama, but I'd like to understand a little bit about how expensive and how difficult it is to ship from Panama to the States.
It's quite expensive. I mean, you can send it just regular mail, and that's not going to be very expensive, but you have a 50-50 chance of it ever arriving. If you want a reliable service, you're going to have to use something like DHL or Federal Express, and it's quite expensive. For example, I needed to send some closing documents to an attorney for a property I sold a few weeks ago, and just an envelope was $45 for me to send that.
Whoa.
Yeah. So the cost to send a painting would be very, very, very expensive. You know, they do have... What they do here is some of the different restaurants, they allow the local artist, and they feature a different artist every single month, to hang up their artwork in their restaurant. So that's your gallery, and then it has your information and prices on it, and you can sell art that way. Plus, many of the restaurants throughout Panama do that. Plus, throughout the country, there's different markets where you might be able to sell your work. And they're probably not going to get the kind of prices that you got in galleries and places in New York, but you never know.
Right. Well,
and you should know also that if you sell work in Panama, if you're selling your product in Panama, you would have to get a work permit.
Right. So we need the Friendly Nations visa for that, right?
Correct. Uh-huh.
Okay, so as an artist selling my work, does it have to be a corporation? That seems kind of overkill.
No. It doesn't have to be a corporation. It can just be you individually.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. My next caller, I believe, is David. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. David in Las Vegas. Jackie, how is Panama going to handle the children going back to school? Here in Vegas, it's really a circus, but how are they handling it there in Panama?
It's all online school. They don't want the kids to go back to school. They want to keep them home, and the teachers are all doing online classes. Now, some kids didn't even have a laptop or a tablet or anything, and they've done a bunch of fundraisers all over the country to raise money to be able to get electronics so that the kids can do their online classes. So that's how they're doing it.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 334. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jackie. This is Freeland. Curious about the bank account stuff. I signed up for your November tour 2021, and it says either one or two bank accounts. Is it necessary to have two? Because right now I just do everything with one banking system.
No,
here.
It's not necessary at all to have two. You can just have one bank, and you'll get a debit card that you can use to get cash out at ATM, so you don't have to walk into the bank to get money all the time.
Is it easy to send money from the States down there, or does it have to be brought?
You've got two ways that you can get money from the United States into your Panama bank account. One way is that if you have a bank in the United States, you can just write a check from your bank of the United States and deposit that into your Panama bank account up to $3,000 a month. So if you needed more than $3,000, which most people don't, but if you did, that's where that second bank account would come in, because you could do $3,000 in each bank. So you can just write a check, and there's no fee for that. The other way that you can do it is you'd have to wire money from the United States down to Panama, and that's going to cost about $50. So you might want to just do that like every 3 to 6 months and send a bunch of money instead of doing a little bit. You know, just to send $3,000 and pay $50 to wire it, that doesn't make very much sense. But it's easy to just write a check for that deposit. Super easy. Next caller is area code 718. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I have a question about health insurance. I know you said you pay about $100 a month to cover you in Panama.
102.
Okay, and then you said it's like you can go to any doctor, any hospital. Does that cover everything, or are there other costs involved, like co-pays, deductibles, or co-insurance?
So with the insurance, I used to have international health insurance, which covered 100% of everything, but I switched to a Panama-only insurance, and it only covers 85% of the cost. Now, if I'm going to see a specialist doctor and it's $40, I could just pay the $40 and not even use insurance, or I can save up my receipts and file to get reimbursed for those receipts. So it doesn't cover 100%. There's no copay, but it doesn't cover 100%. But the costs are so cheap here. They're so cheap that it's still very affordable. For example, I've had three eye surgeries here, and it was about $1,000 for a lens replacement. It was $180 for the last one that I did. And then the one before that, it was like $650. So if I have to pay 15% of that cost, it's still not very much money.
That's true. And the insurance is for any age? Is the same price, $102?
No, it's $102 is if you're between 60 and 69. Between 70 and 75, it's $125. And 75 and older, it's $180. But they don't have any age restrictions on when they'll take you as a new client. So you could come here as an 82-year-old, and you could still get insurance, or a 30-year-old or a 60-year-old. They just have a scale on what the cost is going to be. But between 60 and 69, it's $102. Next caller, area code 678. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, this is Twyla.
Hi, Twyla. Welcome back.
Hey, we live here in Dubuque, Iowa, and our retirement plan is 2022 to 2023, so we've got a couple more years. My question is this. I'm a quilter. I do a lot of quilting here at home, and I'm part of a quilting guild. And when we retire, I was kind of hoping to get one of those, when we get down to Panama, give me a long-arm machine to do some quilting for other people. But I want to get in touch with some quilting groups, maybe a quilting group down there in Boquete or David.
There's a quilting group in Vulcan that I know of, and they have the long-arm machine there. And there's also a quilting group in Boquete, and they have the long-arm machine there. I'm not real sure how to get in touch with either one of them, who runs those groups. But if you get on Facebook in the Vulcan area, like Vulcan community, and say, hey, I'd like to talk to some quilting people, you can probably hook up with them. And same thing with Boquete News. If you go on there and say, I'm moving there and I'd like to talk to some quilting people, you're going to have people come out of the woodwork wanting to talk to you.
Okay. Yeah, because I've probably got about 25 or 30 quilts in the process right now. In little boxes.
Everybody that I know that does quilting is not working on one. They're working on 10 or 15 different quilts at the same time. But that's cool. That's cool. You just decide which one you're in the mood to work on. Next question is from Theodore. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. And hi, Jackie.
Hi there.
I just have a quick question. I actually... I'm looking to make the move. Well, I was looking to come down fairly soon, but it looks like next year at this point. But I was trying to get a feel for high-speed internet access. because my business is, online in terms of doing training and coaching. So I use a lot of Skype, a lot of Zoom. And so what areas, at least from your perspective, that could provide that sort of high-speed access?
It's not so much the area, it's who is the internet service provider. You know, of course, Panama City and the Coronado area, they all have super high-speed internet. Where I live in Boquete, I have fiber optics. I have 100 megabits of internet speed. I could bump that up to 600 if I wanted to. So the key thing is to look for an area that has fiber optics. Some areas do, some areas don't. And literally on the same street, half of the street can have fiber optics and the other half of the street could not. So when you're looking for a place to rent, the question isn't, do you have high-speed internet? The question is, do you have fiber optics? If you have fiber optics, then you can get, I think they're even offering 1,000 megabits of internet speed now, which you wouldn't need that. 100 would be more than enough.
Fantastic. Okay, that I couldn't really find that online, so that actually answers my question. And I believe you said you're going to be updating your online product, so I look forward to getting that so I can come down and do the self-guided tour that you just mentioned.
Yep, I'm working on all of that information. I've got several updates to do to the online guide next week, but the self-guided tour that'll have where to stay, who to contact to get you around town, all those, where the expat hangouts, where's the best grocery store, where's the best fruit market, all those kind of things will be coming out soon.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
You're very welcome. Next caller is Glenn.
Hey, Jackie. Thank you very much. My husband and I have been together for 20 years, and we've been married for 12. What is our legal standing in Panama in recognizing our marriage, and how friendly or how gay-friendly would you say Panama is?
Well, Panama is very gay-friendly. They don't care what color your skin is or religion you are. They don't care about any of those things. They're very friendly. But unfortunately, as far as getting a residency visa, they will not recognize your marriage. So you'd have to apply for individual visas.
Okay. Yeah, I was afraid of that, but certainly not unexpected.
It's easy. It's easy. And the attorney, if you're, applying at the very same time, the attorney will give you a really good deal of doing two separate ones.
Perfect. Yeah, we certainly do plan on grabbing one of your tours, believe it or not. We're looking at 2022 at this point, which is when we plan on...
I just got all my 2022 dates. I have them all, but I'm not going to put them up there and have people sign up for 2022 until I know for sure the borders are open. Then I can put them out there.
Perfect. We'll definitely keep looking because we plan on grabbing one of those dates.
Okay, well, we're going to be super busy in 2022.
No doubt.
To make up for lost time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for taking my call and for everything that you're doing for all of us. Thanks again, and be safe.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Next caller is area code 775. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. I thought I hit my mute button. This is Tom and Elizabeth. We're out of Las Vegas. I'm actually 55, and my husband won't be 60 until December, and we're both still working remotely. So are we allowed to do that, earn an income from a U.S. company in Panama?
Yes, they love it whenever you do that.
Awesome. All right, that was all I needed to know. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller is Peter. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great.
Great, fantastic. So my wife and I are here, and we're just beginning to dabble into looking into Panama's future retirement. And we have about 1,000 questions. So
you only get one. You're going to have to send an email with the other ones.
Exactly, which is probably what we're going to go ahead and do. But you did speak about healthcare costs, which is great. The other part of healthcare, of course, is perhaps recurring medicines. So how can we find out about the costs of different medicines?
There are some of the pharmacies have their prices online, but everything's going to be in Spanish. So you might look at Revilla, R-E-V-I-L-L-A, is one of the pharmacies that they have, not all the medications, but some of the medications online. The best way is to be here in person, walk in, give them a list of your medications, and they'll write next to it what it's going to cost, or if it's even available. Sometimes they have to substitute something else out.
Right.
Also, if you go to any doctor's office, it'll cost you about $12 to go see a doctor. The doctor usually knows what the costs are going to be. Now, let me tell you that if you go into one pharmacy, it might be 50 cents a pill. You go into another pharmacy, it might be 60 cents a pill. You go into a different pharmacy, it might be 30 cents a pill.
Mm-hmm.
So the price is not standard throughout the whole country. They can charge whatever they want to charge, and they charge by the pill.
Right. And the medicine is not covered by any of the health care insurance.
Actually, it is. When I had international health insurance through United Healthcare, they covered $1,500 a year in prescriptions. And then the Panama insurance that I have, they cover part of that fee also for prescriptions.
All right, great. And I will send you the other 10,000 questions in an email.
Okay, thanks. Next caller is area code 610. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Jackie. My name's Colleen. I'm calling from Pennsylvania, and I'm scheduled for your October 2021 tour. But I have a question on a video that you had done with Reggie.
With Reggie. Yeah.
Yes. How much would an apartment like he had, which was located in a hotel, I think it was, how much would something like that cost?
It was an apartment in a hotel, but, you know, it had a kitchen and everything. And since we did that video, he moved because I saw somebody put something up on Facebook, and I just knew it would be perfect for him. So I called him up and said, Reggie, check your email. I sent you a place. And he went over and looked at it that day and got it, and he's already moved in because it's one block to Main Street. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't want a car, and he wanted something where he could walk to everything, and it was even a better location. So the place that he's in is, I think, $725 a month. It's furnished, and it includes, you know, all utilities, internet, electricity, everything.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's great.
And there's other places that are even more affordable and many of places that are even more. So, but that's $725 is what he was paying, and it's what he's paying in his new place.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. And he's still in that Keto area.
Oh, yeah.
The same area.
Yeah, you couldn't drag him out with wild horses. He loves it here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for answering my question.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Terry, go right ahead with your question.
Hi, Jackie. Yeah, I wanted to know about the availability of organic produce. I know I've seen a lot of stuff in the mercados, the little smaller mercados that the locals grow. But is that stuff organic? I'm concerned about, like, the levels of pesticides on the produce.
Some of it is organic and some of it's not. There are farmers throughout Panama that they grow exclusively organic, so you just need to find out whichever area that you're in, who does the organic stuff. And even in the grocery stores, they have things that are labeled organic in the grocery stores. But some of it, if it's not labeled organic or if it's not a farmer that you know grows organic, then it's probably not.
Oh. Okay, and so are there good organic areas in the Boquete area to find good organic produce there?
There's a lot of organic in Boquete.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 443. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Edith. How are you, Jackie?
I'm good.
Great. So I'm scheduled to go with that other young woman from Pennsylvania to go to the Panama Relocation Tour in October 2021. And I'm really interested. I also saw Reggie's video. I'm really interested in Boquete. That apartment that Reggie, that you were just talking about for $725, is that a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom?
It's a two-bedroom.
Excellent. That's what I needed to know. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
You're welcome. So for all of you that are listening in, if you do have a question for me, all you need to do is press star six on your phone, and that puts you in line to ask a question. And if you don't have a question, you just want to listen in, that's okay too. Let me go to the next caller. Is area code 760. I believe it's Clarence. Go ahead.
From San Diego. And earlier in speaking with Alan, he wasn't getting a response from his attorney via email, and you recommended WhatsApp or WhatsApp, and I couldn't quite get it. Can you tell me? Can you spell it or something to clear it up
I'll
for me?
I'll spell it. It's an app on your phone, and it's called WhatsApp, WhatsApp. You'll need to download that, whether you have Android or iPhone. Just go to your place for your app store and download WhatsApp, and that's the best way to communicate with anybody in Panama.
Super. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And by the way, the WhatsApp is a free app. It doesn't cost anything, and it's everybody uses it. So area code 301, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Shahida and Bill.
Hi there. Good. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, ma'am. Quick question. Just confirmation that the government is still going to increase the length of time for us who have gotten our paperwork and, you know, don't know when we're going to be able to get there. I think you had said October 31st.
Currently, it's October 31st, and they may extend it again, but I'm sure, I just feel certain by October things will be opening up. But currently, it's until October 31st. They understand that you can't get here.
Right. Well, from your lips to God's ears, because we are so ready to come.
And as soon as I hear any other new information, of course, I'll send out an email and let everybody know or post it on Facebook.
Okay, Jackie, thanks a lot. And thanks. I so wanted that house, Jackie. I so wanted that house.
But which one?
Else, sure. The one Breezes?
Dolega? Oh, the house sitting gig that I just gave to somebody?
No. This was a couple of weeks ago. The couple just moved out, wanted to live in an area that had a greenhouse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they got it. Yep.
Well, the house they moved from was just, I mean, gorgeous, I thought.
That one got snatched up, too. Two of them got rented really fast. And then last week, for those of you that don't know, when you come on a Panama relocation tour, or if you get our online Panama relocation guide, I get contacted all the time about houses that are available for house sitting. And I believe it was just last week or week before last, there's a couple in South Africa that they can't get back, and they had a house sitter taking care of their home. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house on 4 acres with a swimming pool and a greenhouse and a river at the back of the property with a fire pit. And so the person that was house sitting wanted to go back to the United States because their mom wasn't well, and they asked me if I could find somebody else. Well, of course, it took me about an hour to get somebody else in that house. But if you come on a Panama relocation tour, or if you get our online Panama relocation guide, you're the first people that are going to know about house sitting opportunities here in Panama. It's a free house to stay in. It's a great opportunity to test drive Panama. Next caller is Scott. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. How much is it going to cost to import, like if you had a big book collection or something down there? Are they going to charge you per item as far as your fees?
No, they don't charge by the item, and they don't charge by the pound. If you use an international mover, they just charge by volume. So you can get a pallet which is like 4 feet by 6 feet pallet. And I think that's about $3,500 for a big pallet. If you just had books, if you wanted to send boxes in, they're going to charge by the pound, and that's going to be about $3 or $4 a pound, depending on which company that you use. So it would be more cost effective to go with one of the international movers to get those books down here.
What are the customs fees going to be on something like that?
They're not going to, if you have your visa, if you have a visa, then they're not going to charge custom fees on that.
Oh, so if you already have your Friendly Nations visa, you're good?
Yeah, and whoever your international mover is, they're gonna give you one quote, and it's going to include everything, door-to-door shipping, all fees that are necessary. So that makes it easy. Next caller is area code 648. Go ahead.
I wanted to know if you, I'm interested in getting the Friendly Nations visa, and I wanted to know if you already had a company, could you substitute that company and bring it over and make it a Panamanian company?
There is a way to register a foreign company in Panama, but it's honestly more expensive to do that than it is to set up a new company.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It'd be more cost effective to get a new one. Next caller is area code 231.
Hi, Jackie. This is Victoria and Joan from Northern Michigan. My question has to do with our legal documents, like the FBI background and our certificate of marriage that needs to be apostilled. Is there a window of time from the day we get that apostille? Would it expire in 60 days or 90 days? Go ahead.
The general rule is once you get the apostille on the document or you get the documents, they're good for 6 months. So you would need to apply for the visa within 6 months. And you really don't want to wait till the last minute, because I do know people that they were 30 days away from expiration and immigration wouldn't accept their documents. So it's better to wait and get those documents until we know for sure that the borders are open, because we just don't know what that date's going to be.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 718. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. How long after getting the Friendly Nations visa can you apply for a cedula?
So it's a three-step process. First, whenever you get your Friendly Nation visa, first you're going to get a temporary visa that's good for 6 months. But usually within about 2 or 3 months after getting it, your attorney will contact you and tell you your permanent visa is ready. As soon as you get your permanent visa that day, your attorney can apply for your cedula. And it might take another 2 to 4 weeks to get the cedula after that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. The next caller, area code 604.
Hi, it's Anthony from Vancouver, Canada. I've never been to Panama, but I've been watching your videos, and I wish to thank you for all the valuable information in terms of providing other people's perspective, and it's definitely helped me. I'm thinking of the Boquete area or maybe a bit south of it. My goal is to have my own property and have a vegetable farm, fruit trees, nut trees, that sort of thing. Just wondered, are there nurseries and people to sort of help guide you through that process and supply you with the various trees and things that you need?
So as far as trees, yes, there's some really good places where you can get fruit-bearing trees like oranges and limes and avocados and all of those kind of things. But as far as crops, spinach or broccoli or things like that, there's not a single place where you can go buy a little starter plant. You'll have to grow everything from seed.
For vegetables, that's reasonable.
For vegetables, yeah. And I have a big greenhouse and also have a garden outside of the greenhouse. and I get seeds that I want them to be non-GMO organic seeds,
right.
And you can import those with no problem.
One more question, if you don't mind. You have a greenhouse. I see people have greenhouses there. With the temperatures being 18 to 24 Celsius most days, why would you need a greenhouse?
You need a greenhouse for moisture control. Just when this call first started, it was raining, and it rained earlier today, too. It's not raining right now. It stopped raining. But by having the greenhouse, I can control how much moisture the plants get. In October, November, we get quite a bit of rain. And in May, we get quite a bit of rain. So I just want to make sure that the plants don't get too much rain because it'll ruin them.
In January, a lot of wind. January and February, a lot of wind.
On some areas on my property, I don't get wind. In some areas, they get wind. So you can control the environment whenever you're in a greenhouse. It's not for the bugs or other things. It's just to control the environment.
Jackie, thank you for your answers. And again, thank you for all the effort and financial, investment you put into all those videos for us. It means a lot.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 614.
Hi, Jackie. This is NJ from Ohio. I registered last October for the May 2020 tour, which was canceled. Are you still holding seats for folks like us? I hope to see you soon.
Well, when we know for sure that the borders are going to open and we know for sure we can start doing tours again, then we may have a few seats available on some of the tours, and we're going to send the information out to anybody that had a tour canceled first to give them first dibs on any openings that we might have. It just depends. Some tours we're going to have openings, some tours we won't. But anybody that had a tour canceled, you'll get the first dibs on anything that opens up.
Okay, I've been waiting. So, like I said, hope
be patient.
See you.
Be patient.
Bye.
Pray. Do a lot of praying. That'll help.
Okay.
Next caller, area code 406.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Jay, and I also want to thank you for the incredible work you do and how much you give of yourself. It's obvious there's a lot of love in there from you. And also, these calls are fantastic. I'm getting questions, like a lot of people, answered that I didn't even think to ask. My question is going to expose me a little bit. I've had a long dream of living, and I hate this word, but off the grid. But it's more like I just like the rustic thing. I don't want to be, like, dependent on utilities and all of that. Can you speak a little bit about people who may or may not live off the grid and what kind of services or equipment or things like that that may or may not be available in the Panama area, and also what area you might know of where people actually do that?
I know a lot of people that live off the grid in Panama. Anybody that lives on an island, they're going to be off grid completely. So they'll have solar, rainwater capturing and filtering and all of those things. But even people that don't live on the islands that they could hook up to the grid, a lot of the people have chose to go with going off the grid just so that they have control. For me, my electric bills are like $13 to $14 a month. I've never had one over $20. So it's hard to justify the cost of getting solar or anything like that whenever your electric bill is so, so low. But I've thought about it. But I do know people, even here in Boquete, that they've gone completely solar. They do have a backup that they can hook into the grid if they ever need to. And a lot of people are into rainwater capturing and all those things. So it's quite popular here.
And is it easy to hire people to work for you, like full-time on your property, things like that?
You don't necessarily need someone to work full-time on your property. For example, I have two gardeners that come to – and I have a big property, and I have two gardeners that come twice a week. If you get into someone that comes 3 days a week or more, then you have to get into paying into Social Security and paying a 13th month and all kinds of other rules and regulations. But if you just have people, you know, a couple people that come twice a week, that might be enough. But if you just chose to do full time, you'd have no problem at all finding someone. You just want to make sure you get a lot of recommendations before you hire anybody. Next caller is area code 202. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Shayla. I've been to Panama a couple of times, and just recently my brother was saying that it may be a nice a place I would want to consider, you know, moving to. So I really don't like a lot of warm weather, and I keep reading online that it's pretty muggy and hot, and humidity is high. So he mentioned, I think the problem to call is this Chiriquiri. Is that how you pronounce it? Province?
The islands. Well, you know, it's going to be extremely hot and muggy on the islands. You don't want to do that. The area that has the least amount of humidity and least amount of mugginess would be in the Azuera Peninsula.
Would you spell that? I'm sorry. Would you spell that for me so I can research that?
A-Z-U-E-R-O.
Okay, because I thought it said that this place was in the mountains, and he says if you move into the area or region where there are mountains, it's much cooler. So
it is much cooler. Yeah, I live in Boquete up in the mountains, and it's very cool. You're going to have some rain. You're going to have more rain up in the mountains, though.
So. Okay. And then one more question real quick. The lady that called earlier about moving her art work there, I used to live in Bermuda, and I know that you can get containers. I mean, I don't think I want to just start fresh all over. I think I'd like to move some furniture there if I decide to move. Would it be cheaper to, like, you know, rent a cargo and just have that shipped as opposed to just, you know, some pieces, just do the whole thing in a crate-like?
The best thing to do is come to Panama and plan on just renting for at least 6 months or a year before you decide to bring anything. Most rentals come completely furnished with all the furniture you need, pots and pans and dishes and everything. If you bring furniture down, it's hard to find a vacant place to put it. And sometimes that furniture that you have, like a king-size bed or a big fluffy sofa, it just won't fit into the houses in Panama. So you really need to come and experience Panama for at least 6 months. Just put your stuff in storage or leave it in a friend's garage or something, but come and experience Panama before you think about shipping things down. Next caller is Mike. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I have a weird question. I own a new Tesla Model 3 and it's electric car. How would that going to happen? And where you are.
We don't have electric cars in Panama.
So you cannot plug it into chargers?
Well, they have electrical outlets all over the place, but it would only be at your house. There's not these charging stations all over the place like they are in other areas. It's just not caught on yet here.
But how about apartment? Do they have in the building in the apartments you're renting in the city?
No.
So you have to rent a house.
No, you can rent an apartment, but they're not going to have any place you can plug in your car.
I know, but in regard to the plug, you have to rent a house to get a plug.
Mostly, yeah, an apartment, it isn't going to, condo or apartment, it's not going to work.
Yeah, so it has to be a house. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Next caller, area code 281.
Hey, Jackie, it's John from Tyler. Thank you so much for all that you're doing, and I've got a lot of questions answered on this call, so I just want to tell you how much I appreciate what you do.
You're very welcome.
For someone that loves bass fishing and freshwater fishing and camping and stuff like that, are there things, are there freshwater lakes and parks and stuff to where you could go tent camping and freshwater fishing? For bass?
There's some. The most popular one is Peacock Bass. Lake Gatun is the largest largest lake in Panama, and it supplies water for the Panama Canal. So I've heard you can get 20 and 30-pound peacock bass in that particular lake. But there's other lakes throughout the country, also just fishing by rivers. One of my drivers loves to go fishing, but he knows all the good spots where the rivers are. So bass fishing is no problem. There's also a lake over in Jansen Farms over in Vulcan and peacock bass is a good fishing to do over there too. Next caller, area code 678. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jackie. This is Twyla again. I do have a different question in reference to health care. I know I mentioned to you in the past that my daughter, adult daughter, would probably be coming, possibly be coming with us when we come down there. And she has an issue with her weight. And I know here in the United States you can see a specialty surgeon where they do the stomach stapling so she can lose weight. There are doctors down there that do that type of procedure. They're in Panama that would be able to help her out with this.
I'm sure there is in Panama City and perhaps in David as well. I'm sure that there is. Next caller is Brianna. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Noella? Brianna here from San Diego. I had a question.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? So I'm on active duty, and I'm about to retire probably in 2 more years. And I wanted to know, as far as jubilados and that status, what do they look for, and how do you categorize yourself as that? Because I'll be like 42, and I feel like I'm pretty young to be the typical, I guess, retiree as you see in Panama.
So if you get a pensionado visa, there's no age restriction. You can be 30 or 40 or 21, and if you qualify for the pensionado visa, then you still are entitled to get those jubilado discounts. But if you get the friendly nation visa, then there are age requirements for that visa. With the Friendly Nation visa, women have to be 55 to get the jubilado discounts, and men have to be 60.
Got it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Charlene, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I'm just wondering, I was there in February on your tour, and opened a bank deposit at Multibank, and I send a check for Ellen to deposit. I haven't heard back from her. I don't think she's got my check yet. It's been a good month. And I'm just wondering, do you think the banks would extend that, or are they going to stand by their six-month rule
to close
the account?
They won't. They never close your account. What they do is they freeze the account, and then you can't reopen. You don't lose your money. But I would need to talk to the bank manager, and
okay,
then I can send you an email and let you know, and I can just tell her you've been trying to send a check here, but it's taken a long time to get here. For some reason, it's taken a long time to get letters here, but I can order something off of Amazon on Sunday night, and I have it by Thursday or Friday. So packages, they come in really, really fast, and I don't know why it's taken so long for letters. But I'll talk to the bank manager, and I'll put something out and let you know what I find out. Okay?
One other quick question. When you put out the new list of grocery stores and people to show us around and all of that, will those of us that have already been on the trip, your tour, have access to that? Fantastic.
Yes, you will.
I love you, Jackie.
I take care of my people. You know that.
I know. You do.
Okay.
Thanks.
Next caller is David. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. I work for a hotel that has 4,000 rooms, a couple dozen restaurants, about 2 football fields worth of slot machines, and I have a lot of tools. Thank you so much. On your tour, we went to a hardware store. Oh, my God. Saw a lot of good things, a lot of good quality things, but I really would like to ship a lot of my tools to Panama. I'm thinking maybe about 100 pounds worth of tools in a box, in a chest. What are your thoughts on that?
So you've got 2 choices on getting your tools here. One is whenever you fly to Panama, if you fly first class, you can bring 2 70-pound suitcases, and you can put some tools in there. So that's one way to get some of the tools. I mean, you probably want to bring some clothes, too. Maybe not. You can always buy that here, too. The other one is just to sign up with some of the mail forwarding companies that we recommended. And they'll give you, if you're sending a lot of stuff, they'll give you a discount, but it's still going to be about $3 a pound.
Correct.
So,
it'll take
7 days approximately to get here. So you can get them here.
Yeah, and it was great stopping off in that place over in Ciudad David, where we got off the bus and got a chance to look at the different stores and the hardware stores. Yes, they carry many of the things they have at Home Depot and Lowe's, but of course there isn't a Home Depot and Lowe's in Panama.
No, but, you know, we have equivalents of different stores. And there's many other stores that you didn't get to see that has even more equipment, too.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our next caller is Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Jackie. This is Brian and Dacia. We're going to be down there next year in August for your tour. Looking forward to that.
Great.
It is to do with the shipping containers, and some of the questions actually been answered so far, but it's to do with a vehicle. Now, I understand that it's not cheap to do, but I've sort of put a lot into the vehicle, and it would still be cheaper than buying a new one down there. And so it's to do with shipping containers. I understand don't try to move a bunch of stuff when we come down to rent. And is that also to do with the visa? In other words, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that once we have our permanent visa, we're allowed to bring a car in without the taxes. Is that correct?
No. You still have to pay tax on it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's 18% tax.
Oh, 18%? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about $3,500 to $5,000 to ship the car in, depending on where you're from.
Understood. And we'd be out of California. So we're close enough to Oakland that we, you know, there's a lot of shipping out of Alameda. But
yeah.
But what I was thinking about doing, and tell me if you think this is a good idea, is a 40-foot shipping container. We're not looking to bring furniture and that kind of stuff, but I do have a lot of valuable stuff that we want to bring with us. And I wanted to put the car in the container. Have you heard of anybody doing that? Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't, from what I understand, I'm not sure about this, but from what I understand, you can do that.
Okay.
They're going to require that you drain all the gasoline out and that you can't put anything inside the car.
Okay.
The car has to be empty, but you just need to talk to an international mover to get details on it. I know people that have told me that they've been able to do that, but I don't know what the rules and regulations are on that.
Understood.
Unfortunately.
Understood. Well, it's enough to know that it's possible for now.
Right.
So,
yeah. Also, you need to know that once you get the car here, that you have 30 days after it arrives to get it re-registered as a Panamanian car. So that's another thing that you'll have to, it's very time sensitive to get that done. If you don't, and they see you out riding around and they catch you, they'll impound your car. And if you love your car that much, you don't want that to happen. So you've got to make sure you make plans to get it re-registered when you get here. Next caller, area code 646. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Dawn again. When I come down, I wanted to do the visa process. I wanted to stay there for at least 6 months. My concern is having a place to stay. So what do you recommend in terms of getting a place to stay before I come down there?
I wouldn't recommend that you rent anything before you come down here. You really need to put eyeballs on it. Just make plans to stay in a hotel for 3 or 4 days and to go out and look at several different properties before you pick one. Because some places, they send you pictures and they look absolutely gorgeous, but when you see it in person, it doesn't look anything at all like that. You know, some places are so isolated, you just wouldn't, might not be what you're wanting. So you really need to see the house and you need to, and the apartment, and you need to see the location before you rent it. So just plan on spending, you know, stay in an Airbnb for 4 or 5 days, or stay in a hotel for 4 or 5 days while you go out and look for your place to live. But don't get something lined up before you come. You need to see it. Some places here, the only place they have hot water is in the shower. They don't have hot water in the kitchen. Some places, right, the internet is really, really slow. So you really need to kind of check those things out before you rent anything.
Right. I already have a place in mind where I would like to stay, and that would be Las Tablas. So, but still just wait till I come down to see.
Wait till you come down. Now, I have a lot of good friends in Las Tablas, and I have a lot of good friends throughout the country. And there's some places, even in Las Tablas, there's some places you just wouldn't want to stay. If you're right along the beach in Las Tablas, most of those are not going to have hot water heater at anywhere. If you're in town, they're much more likely to have it. So once again, there are some great little Airbnbs or hotels you can stay at for a couple of days and go out and look at stuff and kick the tires and make sure you like it. And you'll have more choices that way instead of renting something and then regretting it later. Next caller, area code 718. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Just another question about the health insurance. You answered most of it earlier. Does pre-existing conditions matter?
Some pre-existing conditions, they'll exclude them the first year, and then they'll cover it the second year. And if you have a lot of pre-existing conditions, then it may matter. It just depends.
Okay, so that's determined there when they find out what you have or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
I just recently renewed my Panama insurance, and they had me get an EKG and blood work done. And then they said because of the pandemic that you'd usually go into the doctor and have an interview with a doctor. But when I scanned and emailed my EKG and all of my blood work and everything, they said, well, this looks so good. You don't even need a doctor visit. Here's your insurance. So, I have pre-existing conditions with my eyes. I've had multiple eye surgeries, but nothing was excluded. So it just depends.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next caller is Debbie. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Debbie calling from Calgary, Canada. I was fortunate enough to get a spot on your October 2021 tour, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I've been listening in on your phone calls, which are so great and full of information. But I do have a concern, being a Canadian and with the currency in Panama based on the U.S. dollar. Because, you know, I'm a single retiree with a limited pension. I'm worried that it's not going to be as affordable for me, obviously, as it is for Americans that are moving there. And also because it's becoming so popular, I'm a little worried that by the time, you know, a year and a half from now when I want to go there, that I'm going to be priced out of the market. What are your thoughts on that?
There's still, there, even in the more expensive towns, there's still some really good deals and really good prices. We did a conference call a couple of months ago with a Canadian with several different Canadians that have addressed that specific thing about the exchange rate in Panama. And one of the things they said is that the cost difference here is so big and so much more affordable that it more than makes up for the exchange rate. Like I said, my electric bill is like $13 to $15 a month. I bet your electric bill is more than that. My water bill is $100 a year, and my gardener is $30 a day. My groceries don't cost, you know, hardly anything because I eat mostly vegetables and fruits, and so they're super, super affordable. So the cost of living difference and your just daily and monthly expenses is so much cheaper. My cell phone is about $16 a month for my cell phone. I was paying $200 for something equivalent in the United States. So the costs are a lot cheaper on those monthly things. But even rent, you can always find something very nice to rent at a price that's a really good price, anywhere from $200 to $2,000 a month. So you're going to find something that'll fit just right so that it's going to more than offset that exchange rate. And look through our blog. We have some interviews, some call-in interviews that we've done with some different Canadians that have addressed that specifically. And they've been here 5, 10, 15 years, and they're still here, and it's they still say it's the best thing they ever did.
That's great. Now, would you recommend, like I'm thinking when I go on the tour, it's kind of around the time that I was thinking of actually moving there. Like, can you actually move there at the same time you go on the tour?
Some people do that. Yes, some people do it.
Okay. Okay, good to know. Well, thank you again for all the information. This is great.
You're welcome. Next caller is Myra. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Great.
I have a question. My husband's Panamanian, but he's also a U.S. citizen. Is there a limit of time if he were to return home, how long he'd be able to stay? Is it like the Americans because he's a U.S. citizen?
No, because he's a Panamanian, he can stay in Panama indefinitely.
Okay, so my next question is, because he has the ability to stay, if I come down on a pensionado, he can just come down with me because he's Panamanian, correct?
That's right. He doesn't need to get a visa. Okay.
Okay, because he has his cellular number.
Yep. So, yep. He doesn't. Okay. He's Panamanian. He doesn't need a visa. Just you do.
Okay.
And there is, you know, there's even if you're with you being married to him, there's even a way that you could get a visa based on being married to him. But it takes longer and it costs more money. It's just faster and easier and cheaper to go with the pensionado visa. So that should be the way to go.
Right.
And next caller, area code 208. Looks like I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 more calls, and we're going to call it a day. 208, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Jackie. My name is Dan from Idaho. I have two quick questions for you. I'm looking forward to taking your tour. If you do move to Panama, do you need to provide immunization records? And if not, is there one immunization that you would highly recommend getting before arriving in Panama?
The answer is no to both questions. Unless you're planning on going hiking in the Darien jungle, then there's the CDC has a list of recommendations of vaccines that you might want to get. But if you're not going in the jungle, you're not going to need any. And there's no none required.
Okay, very good. I'll make this second question real quick. So I'm in my early 50s, single, and I'll ideally be looking for a 12-month lease. And is that possible to find a 12-month lease? It looks like everything's right at about 6 months. And are there any areas that you would recommend over other areas that have reliable electricity and hot water other than Panama City?
Sure. You could get a 12-month lease, but it might be better to get a 6-month lease with the right to renew it for another 6 months. Just in case you don't like your neighbors or the dogs barking or whatever, then you can move on to the next place. But a lot of landlords will go with a 6-month lease with no problem. There's a lot of, you know, Panama is a little country, but it's so different in different parts of it. So the area that you live in really just depends on what your preferences are. If you want to be in the warmer weather by the coast and see the ocean, then there's a lot of different places where you can do that. If you like the cooler weather up in the mountains and hiking in the rainforest and things like that, then there's plenty of places where you can do that. So there's a lot of great places. It just depends on what your personal preferences are. We do have something called the Online Panama Relocation Guide. It's on our website, and it details some of the different areas in Panama and what the characteristics are to help you decide and zoom in on and narrow down the one or two places that you might want to check out before you sign that 12-month lease. Next caller is Terry. Go ahead.
Terry, go ahead. Hi, Jackie. I just recently found out that there's a VA hospital in Panama, and I wanted to know more about being a 50% service-connected disability. Do my VA benefits, medical benefits, do they transfer? Can I use them there?
Well, it's not actually
a VA hospital.
Mm. There's a hospital that is for veterans that's in Panama, close to Panama City. We actually have an article about that on our website. So if you go to Panama Relocation Tours and there's a search feature, search the word veterans, then it has information about getting your VA benefits and also TRICARE and all those other things. Plus, it has a list of veteran service officers that can help you get hooked up with everything and signed up for everything. And they may be able to even get your disability increased from 50% to a higher rating. But at that hospital and also other hospitals throughout Panama, there's certain places where veterans can go. And after your medical care, then they just bill the VA directly. So you're going to be taken care of. Also, prescription drugs as well. Next caller, area code 270. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Bess, and my husband's coming on your October 2nd tour, Lord willing. And my question is it possible to come there, when we move there, by cruise ship and get off the cruise ship there? Or do you have to come through the airport?
I really don't know the answer to that question.
It's a good question.
It's a good question, but I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Can I ask another one?
You might contact the cruise lines and say, ask them if you can take a cruise to Panama and then just disembark and not get back on. I don't know.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
One more, real quick. Yep.
We're both in our 50s, and we have our 7-year-old grandson with us. And we were looking at, like, the Cerro Punta area. Do you know if that would be kid-friendly up there, or would it be something where...
I wouldn't recommend Cerro Punta at all as a place
okay.
for you to move to. You should do either Volcan or Paseo Ancho instead.
Okay. Can you give me, like, a brief why, maybe, not Cerro Punta?
And Cerro Punta is extremely rural. You'd probably be one of maybe two or three other expats in the whole area. The other thing is they do a lot of agro-farming up there, which means that they could be using chemicals that you just don't want to be around, and you don't want your children to be around that.
Got it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You might watch the video that we just put out with Carla Black. That lives just outside of Volcan, and she talks a little bit about that. But, you know, if you go to Paseo Ancho, which is about halfway between Volcan and Cerro Punta, that would be a great place, lots of kids. And in Volcan, there's a bilingual school that's $75 a month for children. There's a lot of families with children in the Volcan area. And my last caller is, I think, Beverly. Go ahead.
Maybe Carlyon is my name.
Air code 515. Go ahead.
Right. This is kind of a follow-up question on someone called about the VA. Other than the area near Panama City, if you're a vet, can you go into pretty much any hospital in Panama and kind of be taken care of?
Well, you can go into any hospital and be taken care of, but if you want to go into a hospital in Panama and then they build the VA, there's only certain hospitals, but they're throughout the country. So you're going to have a hospital close by that you can go to with no problem.
Okay, thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. So I want to thank everybody. This lasted a little bit longer than 1 hour, but I didn't want to end the call with a lot of people still in line to ask a question. I want to thank everybody so much for calling in this Saturday and all the great questions that we had. I hope you learned a lot. Sometimes you just don't know what questions that you should ask, and you don't know what you don't know. So I know that makes these kind of calls important because you learn a lot of things that you didn't even know that you needed to know. So next Saturday, we're going to have a guest speaker. I'll send out an email about it, and I hope everybody has a great week. Thank you so much.